kids that come to our camp, you know, I tell them, I'm like, look, if we're in there to see you, we watch you from the second you get out of your car, the second you get back in your car. You know, we're watching how you treat your parents. We're watching what you do pregame. We're watching what you eat at the concession stand. You know, all those things, they're all important.
No good player has ever said, well, who else is going to be the shortstop? The best players just say, sign who you want. I'm going to beat them, right?
And the other thing for baseball players, if you want to be a great baseball player and play at the highest levels, then be an athlete first.
Hello and welcome to the Coach's Corner podcast, where the coaches hang out with Walter. Today's podcast is brought to you by the Baseball Blue Book. If it has to do with baseball, it has to be in the book. The question for you, are you in the book? Now let's join our host, Walter Beattie.
Hey, you never know who you're going to run into here in Dallas at the ABCA. And fortunately, able to be joined by Jim Schlossnagel, head baseball coach at Texas A&M. Schloss, thank you so much for taking a few minutes because I know you're a busy guy at this thing.
Yeah, there's a lot going on, but always enjoy visiting with you. And in fact, we've had a long run together, so. Enjoyed coaching Tyler and the USA team following his career.
Yeah, he's on his way over, as a matter of fact. Just did a mission athletic retreat. So he did that and told me to say hello, obviously. Yep. And I'm what I really want to get and have our time spent on is the differences now with regard to the technology and the role that technology plays with you with regard to recruiting. You know, and I have a lot of coaches, a lot of families that are always asking me about what really matters to coaches. Is it the hustle, the heart? Is it the ability? Or is it the numbers that come out of the sensors or the radar guns and things like that?
Yeah, I mean, I think the intangibles you're talking about, when you're talking about the SEC or Elite Division I baseball, the margin of the margin between the good players and the great players a team in the SEC West, a team in the SEC East, whatever, they're so thin.
Right.
Those character qualities you're talking about, that's going to be the difference maker because everybody throws hard and everybody's got a good breaking ball for the most part. And everybody can run and throw. So you're going to start. I mean, you need a base level of talent. Let's not kid ourselves.
Right.
If you're not talented enough to play, but you're the greatest kid, then there's going to be a place for you to play. There's no doubt about it. It just may not be, you know, in the SEC or certainly won't be in the big leagues. But once you establish a base level of talent, and the metrics are a part of that, but there are pitchers that, for example, that we've recruited heavily that haven't thrown over 87 miles an hour yet, but because they command the ball, there are some metrics to their arsenal that lead us to believe that if they have those intangibles, they got to have those to put in the work ethic to continue to get bigger and stronger and develop over time. That may lead to an elite player. Give you an example, and this was before all the metrics. Nick Lodolo,
right?
He was the first college pitcher selected in 2019 draft, I believe. He's been in the big leagues with the Reds.
Yeah,
they're number one or two pitcher right now. The first time I saw him pitch on a field in McKinney, Texas, he was throwing 80 miles an hour. Tall, skinny lefty that threw nothing but strikes. But just with my own eyes, I'm sure if in those days, if I would have had some level of metrics to evaluate it, it would have read a higher spin or whatever. But I just knew he threw strikes. A loose arm. He was athletic. He was in control of his body. And I think UCLA and Virginia, those were his visits. And we ended up with him. And by the end of the deal, he's thrown in the mid 90s and he's in the first college pitcher taken. So I think it all matters. But it's not like Coach Mo just said, all that stuff is a servant, right? That's servant information. It can't be your master.
Amen.
If that's your master, then you're not going to be a winning player because we're actually trying to win the games, right? You don't win games in a lab. You don't win games in a batting cage. You prepare yourself to be a winning player, but we want winning players.
So on that topic, when a high school player becomes a college player, his first fall on campus, that's arguably the biggest jump.
Yes.
That an athlete, how do you prepare your high school, incoming high school student athletes to be ready to compete when the feet hit the ground in the fall.
Yeah, I actually don't think it's arguable. It's fact. I think the biggest jump in at least baseball, which is all I know, and especially today now with a 20-round draft, fewer minor league teams, the transfer portal, more scholarships, NIL, right? There's more ways to recruit and keep good players. The biggest jump in a player's career is going to be from high school baseball to Division I baseball or to college baseball or certainly to elite Division I baseball. That's going to be the biggest jump because if you think about it, if that kid goes out and signs, he's going to rookie ball with kids his age.
Right?
He's not coming to a place like ours or one of these other big schools where they have a grad transfer. We have a grad transfer on our team. When he started college, our freshmen were in seventh grade. So it's going to be a massive jump. We know it as coaches.
Right.
Hey, listen, man, you're going to screw up and fail more than you've ever failed. It's okay. It's part of the process. If you're not failing, I'm not challenging you enough.
Right.
And you try and tell mom and dad that, be prepared. You're going to get some phone calls. It's okay. He's going to be fine if we just trust, and keep working and understand your time will come, which is hard these days because baseball requires, I was with Dayton Moore, special assistant now to the Champion Rangers and used to be the general manager of the Royals. He made a statement that I had to write down, like baseball requires patience, and patience is not something that we have a lot of in today's world, especially with regard to development.
So on that note, when you have an above average student athlete in today's world that we live in with regard to portal and name, image, and likeness, do you find yourself having to, for lack of a better term, re-recruit on a regular basis? Hey, listen, you're a freshman. You're not playing right now, but your time is coming. You don't need to jump and go find an opportunity somewhere.
Yeah, and I thought Jay Johnson in his LSU speech did an awesome job of giving some examples of that. That's my job is to help these guys understand the why of what we're doing and what they're facing. At the end of summer school this summer, we have all of our incoming freshmen come to summer school. And the day they were going back, they have a two-week break, and then they come back. The day they were going back, I went in our grease board, and I said, you guys ever heard of Wyatt Langford? Oh, yeah, we heard of him. And here's his junior year stats. And here's his signing bonus. Would you take that? Oh, yeah, coach. I'll take that. How about his sophomore year? Oh, SEC. Not quite as good as his junior year, but really good. Da-da-da-da. Hey, would you take that your sophomore year? Yeah, I'll take that. Freshman year, 1-for-4. And he wasn't hurt. 4 at-bats. And I think he was a catcher. Or they were trying to figure out who he was. Would you take that? And the room got pretty quiet. Right? Would you take the 1-for-4? I'm not saying it's going to be that for you.
Right,
who knows?
Right.
But would you take the 1-for-4 to get the 9 million
right.
or 8 million or whatever it is? So that's just, you know, we all want it today. So do I. I want every freshman to be awesome. But it's competitive, man. And as Coach Saban says, you're in the tryout the rest of your life.
Amen.
The rest of your life is a tryout, whether it's in baseball or not. To keep your job, you're in a tryout. You know, you getting this. Your podcast going. That's you're competing against everybody else that's here, and so so that's just part of life. It's a great life lesson. They'll be fine. Just allow your son or daughter to just continue to compete, and the cream will rise.
And so, finally, our last question, because time is of the essence here for you during the weekend. I'd love for you to share with specifically student athletes how to utilize their high school years to truly prepare themselves for the college baseball experience, not just baseball, meaning relationships, how you handle relationships, time management, discipline versus motivation. You know, I that's something that I try to get families to understand. But for student athletes, how should they utilize these next few years in high school to prepare to be a college student as well as a college student athlete?
Yeah. I mean, my advice would be you got to find a daily routine. There is no quick fix. Like, you got to find a daily routine that challenges you and makes you better. They asked Tom Brady, you know, how did you go from being the, you know, sixth round pick or whatever it was and the seventh guy on the depth chart over the course of your time? How did you do all that? What would you tell a young Tom Brady? And he said, I would figure out what made me better and what made me worse, and I would do more of the things that make me better and less of the things that make me worse, right? So think about, you got to edit your life. You know, what who are the five people in my life that make me better? Who are some of my buddies that, you know what? I'm not the best version of myself when I'm with those. And that's all of us. That's just not a young
right,
person.
Right.
And so, you know, I mean, you'd start there and then, you know, I believe, you know, the best discipline is self-discipline. Discipline yourself so nobody else has to. Get your rear end out of bed. Find a way to be a self-improver. Strength is important.
Huge.
And so if you're playing, I love baseball as much as anybody, but if you're playing year-round baseball and you're not committed to getting bigger and stronger and faster and more durable and a better mover, I think playing multiple sports will do that for you a lot. But if you're not going to play multiple sports, then how are you going to train yourself to become, you know, to get physically stronger? Because when you get to college, man, that 22-year-old is just so much further along than most people, and that plays a role. There are short players in the SEC. There's no small players. There's no tiny players. They may be short, but they're strong. And so, I mean, we could talk forever about all these things, but you better have some good personal habits that allow you to have great success.
Well, I want to say best of luck in 2024, not only in the SEC, but hopefully we see you in Omaha. I am making a trip out this year to Gingham Country. I can't wait. Tyler has told me that it's an exciting venue to play in. So I'm going to experience that for myself this upcoming spring. And thank you, Jimmy, for joining us today very, very much. And all of the contact information for Coach Loschnagel, anything to do with Texas A&M baseball, will be in the description of the podcast as well as our broadcast. Thank you.